New research of parents who have children aged 4 to 16 has found that 3 in 5 consider their child to be a fussy eater. In fact, almost half of parents feel obliged to cook more than one different meal each night to keep everyone happy. Now, our health and things like eyesight can be greatly affected by the quality of our diet growing up. So how can parents ensure a balanced, healthy diet for fussy eaters and one that's fun as well? I'm joined now by Dr. Rachel Edwards-Stewart, who's a food scientist and a flavour expert and so much more besides. Hello there.
Hello.
You're an expert on all things food.
Specifically food flavour.
Food flavour. Now, I grew up, I'm kind of old school, grew up, and we're talking about the last century, obviously. But, you know, I remember at the age of probably 3 or 4, having to sit at, and it was a Sunday dinner, and I remember everybody else had finished, but I was to sit there until I finished my dinner. And, you know, I hated things like cabbage, as most kids do. I hated marrow, which when I grew up, I realised marrow doesn't have a taste. It was just the texture. And, you know, I love my vegetables now, but it was quite tough then to, you know, you sat there until you finished it. How much science is there actually in making a flavoursome food?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, the really interesting thing about the kind of science of flavour is every single thing that we eat, every time that we eat a food or drink something, every single one of our five senses plays a really key role in kind of delivering the flavour of that food. So, you know, how the food looks, but actually when we start to consume it, how it tastes. So, you know, every single one of the five tastes will react with taste buds on our tongue and send message to us about the taste of that food. Then there's the aroma, thousands of different aromas, you know, contained with this different foods, which get picked up by receptors in our nose that tells our brain about the aroma of that food. And then texture is really important. You know, as you mentioned before, you know, some foods have a very characteristic texture that can be very important in kind of leading to the flavour of that food and therefore whether you like it or not. And finally, sound, which may sound like a bit of a surprise, but actually some really interesting research has been done to show the importance of sound specifically on the flavour of different foods. So one brilliant study that was carried out at Oxford University, looking at sound, where they actually fed people crisps and as they were eating them, they played to them the crunch of a very kind of fresh crisp, and they could actually make almost stale crisps taste extra fresh just by playing through headphones the sound of a crunch.
You see that,
as the person was consuming it.
That's really interesting, because I was going to ask you that, because I suppose when you look around the world, different diets embrace different things. Now, we might think, oh, I don't know how you can eat that, but you can train your taste buds, can't you?
Well, I think there's a number of things. I mean, one of the things that's actually particularly important when it comes to fussy eating and some of the strategies that you can do to actually kind of help fussy eating kids is the best way to get someone who doesn't like a food to start to like it is by mere exposure. So by simply trying a particular food a number of times, you know, whether 5 times, 10 times, even 15 times, you know, each time that the person tries it and realizes that actually nothing bad has happened, and then gradually as they try it and they realize maybe they're getting kind of more positive associations following that food, so whether it's a feeling of fullness or, you know, kind of pleasure, that gradually they will kind of start to like that. So this idea of kind of exposure is actually very important in terms of kind of, you know, getting people to like certain foods, and can be a very good strategy in terms of helping to combat fussy eating.
I mean, I'm scarred. I still to this day can't eat a cheese tomato risotto, because it was something that my mum used to make and I absolutely hated it, and I had to sit there. And I only found out recently that my sisters didn't like it either.
Environment is really key, you know, actually in terms of kind of driving your likes and dislikes, and actually kind of how you were brought up and the foods you were introduced as a youngster, you know, leading to both likes and dislikes. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, who were at boarding school might remember certain foods they were force fed, you know, forced to finish in a very kind of, you know, not a natural environment, not a positive environment, you know, quite a kind of unnatural, harsh environment, and their foods to this day that they still won't eat. You know, so I think that the kind of environment in which you're provided the food can have a very important impact. And actually, you know, what the research suggests, that actually providing, you know, children with a large variety of different foods, but in a very positive environment, you know, is the best way to kind of drive and kind of develop healthy eating habits.
Yeah, making mealtime fun, because I think this, for parents, can be an absolute nightmare, because you want your kids to be healthy.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you don't want to be... I mean, I don't think necessarily the way I was brought up in that regard isn't necessarily the best way to do it, you know. I remember my sister was like, well, you'll get this for breakfast if you don't eat it for dinner, just to kind of teach a lesson. Now,
yeah.
It sounds a bit stark. It never ever came to that. But there are some things, aren't there? I mean, I grew up... there's a list there of the top 20 most unpopular things. And mushrooms, I think, is probably quite a common one growing up. I was scared of mushrooms because I'd heard about toadstools.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's interesting. Mushrooms came out as number one on the study that HelloFresh did. I mean, I imagine it's probably to do with the texture of mushrooms, because, you know, what you might expect is you might expect the most top disliked vegetable to be more of your bitter vegetables, because actually, you know, we are born with an innate dislike of bitterness. And especially for some of us who are super tasters, we have more taste receptors on our tongue. We are particularly sensitive to bitterness. And so for kind of a long time, it was thought that maybe, you know, children who kind of avoided their broccoli and more and their kind of Brussels sprouts were simply because they were super tasters. And actually were just finding them kind of far too bitter. But actually, you know, by kind of trying, you know, by exposed to the kind of bitterness, you know, over and over again kind of can lead to liking. And I mean, I certainly am an example of this. You know, I'm a super taster myself. I find bitterness very, very kind of strong. But by sheer exposure, by forcing myself to drink a lot of coffee because I wanted the caffeine, to drink a lot of beer, due to kind of the kind of social stigma of it, I've now learned to love those two drinks, even though they are very bitter. So it's interesting that mushrooms comes out, you know, so near the top. I would have expected it more perhaps to be something bitter, but I think it could well be to do with the texture of a mushroom.
In what ways then can we make that fun then for children?
Well, I think that you know, a lot of people go to great efforts, a lot of parents, to actually hide vegetables, you know, in their meals. So, you know, cauliflower rice, you know, all pasta sauces where they've blended, you know,
spinach.
Five different vegetables. Yeah, well, spinach is quite a difficult one to hide because it's got that very characteristic kind of almost metallic bitter flavour to it. But the problem with actually hiding things in foods is what you really want to do is you want to get your child to actually embrace the vegetable or the food for what it is and actually learn to love it. You know, it's no win if you've hidden something in there because you haven't helped on the journey of actually them choosing to consume it later in life and actually enjoying it. You know, so I think the really important thing is actually, you know, social modelling is a great example. So actually eating the particular food in front of the children and, you know, showing how much you're enjoying it is a very effective strategy in terms of encouraging the child to try something new. And certainly something I've tried with my own children is getting their favourite teddy to eat it. It's always very effective in terms of getting them to try it.
And my dad used to do the aeroplane going into the hangar.
Yeah.
Is it when I turn around, I want that food still to be there. Oh,
yeah.
You know, fooled again. But I mean, my sister, it's good what you say there, because my sister, she brought up, one of my sisters, the children were given sweets all through their childhood, and she used to just put them in a drawer, and she tended to give the kids fruit. They grew up actually preferring fruit over sweets.
Yeah.
And again, a training, you don't want to, you know, a treat's nice, but it's getting it in perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. And it's also, I think we need to be very careful with our attitude to kind of unhealthy foods, because actually if we make them too much of a kind of forbidden, then actually that can backfire, because it means that actually all they want is this thing that they're not allowed. You know, and actually it's much better to kind of make sure that all you have on offer is a lot of healthy foods, you know, so give your child a choice between, for example, two healthy foods rather than a healthy food and an unhealthy food. You know, have a lot of fruit on display at home, you know, include a lot of vegetables generally kind of in the family planning, you know, and just simply being surrounded by healthy foods, you know, will kind of naturally influence kids. I mean, we know how easily they're influenced by other people and seeing what other people do. So just kind of bringing them up in a very healthy environment is a great way to just kind of, you know, give them those good habits that hopefully they'll take forward as they grow up.
And the things you want to be, I suppose, firm, because there will be some things that I suppose that are good for us, but we just never will like them. So it's finding a way through that as well, isn't it?
Yeah, although having said that, I mean, I genuinely am one of those people that probably people won't believe or find really irritating in terms of I just love vegetables and I love healthy food. Mm. And for me, a meal is not complete unless there's something green. You know, my sister goes, Madge always has to buy salad whenever I'm coming around. She knows that I won't find it a proper meal unless it's got some green vegetable, you know, or vegetable within it. But that's just something, whether I've taught myself, you know, to like them, because I know, you know, how important it is to eat them. You know, I'm not sure, but it's you know, you can train yourself into eating better if you have the motivation, the kind of dedication to do it.
Where can we get some tips on this then?
So as I mentioned, HelloFresh has done a bit of research in terms of looking into fussy eating children, and they've got some information up on their website that shares some of the findings they've done from their study. And obviously I've been working with them in terms of actually looking at the scientific literature and some of the research that's been done out there, which I've shared with them and which they'll be sharing as well on their website.
So I take it your children are very healthy eaters?
Well, they are. Interesting. I've got a toddler who's going through neophobia at the moment. So this kind of fear of new things and things that he used to love, he's now not sure about. But we've had quite a lot of success actually using some of these techniques to kind of get him to try these things over and over again and then to kind of learn to like them again. And then my little 6-month-old, we started weaning her last month, and she has, you know, a pretty interesting diet, you know, of all of the bitter vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, and she poor thing, she's never had anything like apple or butternut squash or any of those kind of lovely sweet things that most children get weaned on. She's been on kind of, you know, broccoli, garlic. She had curry last night. She's having squid tonight.
Oh, goodness.
poor little thing. She's a good little guinea pig for me in terms of actually testing some of these strategies.
I bet some of the faces she pulls must be priceless.
Yeah. Yeah, but she does you know, she also does like you know, it's quite pleasing when I put a particularly kind of challenging strong flavour in front of her, when you see that kind of lovely little smile.
Well, that's interesting to hear. Dr. Rachel Edwards-Stewart, thank you so much for your advice. It's been a lot of fun.
Good to speak to you.